And now, the rest of the story. Frank's early childhood was a glorious, real-life fantasy. His daddy had been an oil baron, had amassed a fortune, so now Dad was a gentleman farmer, and the family was living in luxury. Their home was a sprawling country estate near Syracuse, New York, an opulent manor surrounded by immaculate gardens and manicured greenery and rolling fields of grain, a splendid property which Frank's mother had christened Rose Lawn. And life at Rose Lawn was everything a little boy could wish for. Adoring parents, plenty of room to romp and play. In this way, Frank's youth was unmarred by conventional childhood trauma. Until one day, Frank was exploring his father's grain fields. The boy and his mind were wandering equally happily. And then at once he was jolted from his daydreams. It was a stranger, someone young Frank had never seen before, a figure towering over him, standing rigid, silent, alone. And Frank ran home, terrified. And for months thereafter, each night, the same nightmare. He would meet the stranger again in his father's field, and in those dread dreams, the stranger would chase him, and then Frank would wake up. It seemed such an unfair blemish on a boy's otherwise carefree childhood. For he was so happy at Rose Lawn, until bedtime. But then in slumber, he would walk the open fields once more, only to meet and be pursued by a nameless, faceless stranger. But then one day, that stranger got a name and a face. By now, Frank is a grown man with a family of his own, a wife and four sons. There's a timid knock at his study door. His youngsters have brought some neighborhood friends to the house to hear another of Daddy's marvelous stories. With four boys of his own, Daddy has become an adept storyteller. So Daddy reaches into his imagination, and Daddy reaches back into his own childhood. And he begins. And for his eager young listeners, Daddy creates a splendid city, a happy place engulfed in green, far from the clutches of care and worry, because Daddy is remembering Rose Lawn, where he grew up. So his descriptions are very vivid. For the children gathered around him, he breathes life into the faceless stranger of his own youthful nightmares. But now the stranger is no longer threatening. The stranger is tame, and he has a face. One of the youngsters interrupts, "What does Daddy call this wonderful kingdom?" And Daddy stops. He's not prepared for this. But quickly his eyes dart about the room for an indication, for a clue, something to call his fantasy land. And his eyes come to rest on the filing cabinet in the corner. And without blinking, he speaks what he reads on the lowermost file drawer. He speaks what he reads on the file drawer. And the name is quite satisfactory to his young audience and would remain so forever. For one day, Daddy wrote down the story he told of the carefree metropolis engulfed in green, which he called Emerald City, and the one sinister stranger he'd met in his father's field, which in reality had been nothing more than a scarecrow. And of the marvelous fantasy kingdom spontaneously named after a file drawer, the one below A through N, the file drawer marked O through Z, and thus was born to L. Frank Baum the magnificent tale which weaves its web of enchantment about the hearts of children still, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And now you know the rest of the story.